The Lord's Supper is not merely a memorial of Christ's death, but as the most extreme expression of divine hospitality in human history, welcoming the stranger, creating space for the other, and opening oneself sacrificially for those who do not yet belong. From this foundation, I'd like to develop a series of sermons on communion. I believe communion, receiving and drinking the body of blood of Christ, present a whole theology of a church and its congregation. The posture and the spirit with which we approach communion and the transformation we experience through it reflect the depth and maturity of our faith. How important is communion to you? And through the countless times you have participated in communion, what transformation have you experienced? I now invite you into this communion series, which I will explore theologically and biblically, at least once a month. On our scheduled communion service worship, we will engage in a deep inquiry into why we take communion. My hope is to share with you just how profound this dry bread and plain juice, which we have so often received without a second thought, truly is. Beginning today, I want to explore the mysterious and wondrous world of communion through one single lens, hospitality. We use this word far too casually. We think it means being friendly or throwing a nice dinner party. But the roots of hospitality run far deeper than that. The English word hospitality comes from the Latin hospes, a word that carries a triple meaning. It means both host and guest. And remarkably, it also means stranger. At its origin, hospitality never about entertaining people you already knew and loved. It was about welcoming the stranger, the outsider, the unknown other, and bringing them in. The Hebrew scriptures tell the same story as we read today. When Abraham sat at the oaks of Mamre and welcomed three strangers who appeared from nowhere. He was entertaining the messengers of God himself. The book of Hebrews reflects on this moment with a stunning line. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. But the deepest understanding of hospitality goes further still. Our beloved theologian Henry Nouwen defines it this way. Hospitality is the creation of a free and friendly space where the stranger can enter and become a guest rather than an enemy. A space where the other can be themselves. Now hold this definition close and stand before the table of the Lord's Supper with the understanding of hospitality in your heart. What you see will be transformed. Every religion is the history of the world shares a common direction. Human beings reach upward toward the divine. We bring offerings, we perform rituals. We earn merit. We prove our worthiness. The grammar of religion is remarkably consistent across every culture and every century, from humanity upward to God, from below reaching toward above. The Lord's Supper reverses this theory entirely. Who prepared the bread? God did. Who filled the cup? God did. Who sent the invitation? God did. And we are the guests who've been called to sit down. Think about how disorienting this is. We are not hosting God. God is hosting us. We have not brought an offering to present. God has brought himself to give. This is not a ceremony in which we ascend toward heaven. This is a table at which heaven has descended to us. This is the hospitality of God. Yes, hospitality is the act of creating space, making room within your world for the stranger to enter. And here is the breathtaking truth. Before we ever sought God, God was already making space for us. The table is already being set. The invitation was already being written. We did not find our way to this table. We were called to it. The Lord's Supper is the moment when that descent is spoken in the language of a meal. Here is the first truth I want you to hold today. We are guests in God's house. He set the table. He sent the invitation. We are here because he called us, not because we earned our way in. This is no ordinary hospitality. Every act of hospitality carries a cost, no doubt. Henry Nouwen reminds us that creating space for another person always requires giving something of yourself, your time, your resources, your comfort, your sense of control. You cannot welcome another without surrendering something. The more genuine the welcome, the greater the sacrifice. A generous host offers their finest food. A sacrificial host empties their pantry. A loving host gives up their own comfort so the guest can rest. The deeper the hospitality, the more it costs the one who gives it. But what Jesus said that night went beyond anything hospitality had ever meant before. He was not offering food, he was offering himself as a foot. He was not setting a table with the finest things he owned. He was placing himself on the table. God does not merely lower the boundaries so we can enter. He breaks open his own body so that we might live. He does not simply make space for us. He becomes the sustenance that fills us. Imagine for a moment a host who has nothing left to offer. The cupboard is bare, the table is empty, and a desperate, starving guest arrives at the door. And the host says, "Take me, I'm all I have to give." We would call that unimaginable. We would call that love beyond reason. This is exactly what happens at this table. The cross is not a distant theological doctrine hanging on the wall. The cross is on the cross, on the table. When you receive the bread, you are receiving it from the hands of the one who gave his body for you. When you drink the cup, you are drinking the love of host who poured out everything so that his guest might live. This is where hospitality meets a sacrifice. This is the furthest extreme to which welcome can go. And this is the Lord's Supper. Now I must ask the most uncomfortable question of all. Who is this table for? Follow Jesus, the Gospels, and you will notice something striking. He is almost always eating. And the guest list at his table was, to put it mildly, scandalous by the standards of his day. Tax collectors, known sinners, women of disrepute, lepers, foreigners, people whom the religious establishment had declared unclean, unworthy, and unwelcome. The Pharisees noticed. They could not stop talking about it. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. It was meant as an accusation, but they were simply describing what was happening. Jesus was doing exactly what they say. And here, we must return to the ancient root of the word hospes, hospitality, the stranger, even the uncomfortable other brought inside. Jesus' table practice was a deliberate, visible, repeated act of radical hospitality, taking those whom religion has pushed to the outside and calling them back in. Not occasionally, consistently, and intentionally. This was not sentimentality. It was a declaration. These people have a place at God's table. Now consider what happens at our table. We come to the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, and we examine ourselves, which is right and good. Paul calls us to self-examination in 1 Corinthians 11. But there is a subtle, dangerous drift that can happen in our hearts. The question shifts from, am I worthy to receive this? To, is that person worthy to receive this? The moment that shift happens, we have stopped being guests and started acting like host. But we are not the host. God is the host. And his condition for invitation is not worthiness. It's not religious performance. It's not moral achievement. His condition is calling. Not come, all you have it all together, but come to me, all you who are weary and thirsty. Not come, all you are qualified, but come, all who are thirsty. The church has argued for centuries about who may or who may not come to this table. Those are not always meaningless debates. But underneath every such argument, there is a question we must never stop asking. Who owns this table? The door to this table was opened by the host, and he was not locked it from the inside. Finally, hospitality at its deepest level is not about filling our stomachs. Nouwen says the purpose of hospitality is to transform the stranger into a guest, to bring the outside person inside, and to convert distance into belonging. In the ancient world, to share a meal with someone was to make a covenant. It was a declaration. I'm on your side. You belong with me. We are the same. When we eat together, something changes between us. The Lord's Supper then accomplishes two things simultaneously, and they cannot be separated. The first is the restoration of our relationship with God. When we sit at this table, we are sitting at the table of God Himself. The distance that sin created, the estrangement, the exile, the sense of being forever outside is addressed right here. We who are strangers are made guests. We who were far off are brought near. Paul writes in Ephesians that Christ has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. The Lord's Supper is where we taste that destruction. We sit down and the distance closes. The second is the formation of a community with one another. This is precisely why Paul was so distressed about what was happening in Corinth. The wealthy members of the church were eating their fill and getting drunk, while the poor arrived to find nothing left. They were gathered in the same room, using the same name for what they were doing, but they were eating at different tables. And Paul says plainly and without apology, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. You cannot receive the hospitality of God and then refuse hospitality to the person sitting next to you. You cannot be welcome to the same table and then treat your brother or sister as a stranger. When you share one bread, we declare that we are one body. Across every line of class and culture and background and politics and history, that world uses to divide us. At the Lord's table, Lord's Supper, we learn this in two directions at once. God opens himself to us, and we learn to open ourselves to one another. Those who have been genuinely welcomed by God become people who genuinely welcome others. The Lord's Supper is not a private act of piety. It is, at its core, a community-forming event. Finally, we must ask where this table is going. As Jesus lifted the cup at that night, he said something extraordinary. I tell you, I will not drink this fruit of vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper is not only a memorial looking backward, it's a window looking forward. Every earthly act of hospitality has limits. The meal ends, the guest eventually goes home. the host resources run dry. Even the most beautiful table must be cleared. There is an incompleteness to every welcome this world can offer, however generous, however warm, however sacrificial. But God's hospitality has no such limits. The book of Revelation describes the end of history not as a courtroom or a battlefield, but as a feast. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. There is a table coming, a table where every tear has been wiped away, where every hunger is finally and fully satisfied, where every person who was ever pushed to the outside has been brought at last inside. A table with no ending, a hospitality that becomes eternity. The bread and cup we receive today, these small, ordinary elements are a preview, a foretaste of the final feast. We are participating right now in a banquet that has not been completed. This is the tense of God's supper. We remember what was done, and we receive what is offered now, and we anticipate what is still to come. Past, present, and future collapses all together onto this one table. And over all of it, the broken bread, the poured out cup, the gathered community, the unfinished feast, God is still extending his invitation. He has not stopped welcoming. He will not stop welcoming until the last guest is home and the great table is full. Today, we come to this table, not because we earned our place here, not because we are sufficiently faithful, sufficiently holy, and sufficiently put together. We are here because we were invited. We were strangers, and God called us guests. We are far off, and God drew us near. We are hungry, and God said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." The bread is the body of the one who took hospitality to its absolute extreme and gave himself away so that we might live. This cup is the love of host who poured out everything, withheld nothing, so that the guest will not perish. Standing before this table, the only thing required of us is not a credential or a performance. It's simply this: to open our hands and receive. And when we rise from this table and walk back into the world, we carry this hospitality with us. We've been welcomed. Now we become those who welcome. We've been given space. Now we create space for others. We've been treated as guests in God's house. Now we open the doors of our own lives and say to the stranger, to the weary, to the pushed aside and the left out, and saying, "There is room for you here." This is what it means to have eaten at this table. Come now, receive. The table was set for you.